Hello, I'm Joanna Lumley. I'm from London, and it's absolutely fabulous to be here travelling with Rick Steves. I'd love to boast to my friends that I spoke to Rick. We're all sitting with bibs around our necks and our eyes glittering. And I'm from Patsy. I think, Rick, you're fantastic. Cheers, sweetie.
I like London.
Have you heard the saying that if you tire of London, well, you're tired of life? Well, London, like any big city, can really wear you out. That's true. And that's why we've recruited some British tour guides, Liz Boardman and Jeannie Carmichael, to recommend a few spirit-lifting adventures we can enjoy on an easy day trip from London. They join us now with ideas for memorable and entertaining excursions we can add onto our next London itinerary. Jeannie and Liz, thanks for being here.
Pleasure.
Nice to see you.
So when you go to London, of course, there's some obvious things you'll want to see, Oxford, Cambridge, Bath, and so on. But there are some side trips that people might not think about that we want to be sure they know about. Jeannie, what's an example of a great side trip that you'd want people to be sure to consider when they're in London?
Well, one of my favorites is Hampton Court Palace.
Hampton Court Palace, why?
Because it's Henry VIII's chief palace. It's a magnificent Tudor building, 1,200 rooms in it. 60 acres of gorgeous gardens, the world's oldest maze, art, tapestries, costumed docents.
Costumed docents.
Indeed, yes.
Now you say that like it's just, it comes with the palace. It's such a beautiful thing. Liz, in England, it seems everywhere you go, you've got costumed docents.
I think it's, we all like to dress up, basically. It's a wonderful experience. And I think many of our attractions are really aimed for education purposes. Yeah. And what better way to have education than to enjoy it?
And it's not unusual to have a great historic palace, a very highbrow place that has a little dress-up room next to the entry where the kids can put on costume gowns and coats.
It's not just the kids, right?
It's not just the kids. So we're talking Hampton Court Palace, 1,200 rooms, Henry VIII's fabulous home, lots of tapestries, a maze outside in the garden, costume docents. How do you get there?
You just go to Waterloo Station. There are two trains an hour. Mm-hmm. And you don't even need to buy a special train ticket. You can get there on the London Oyster card.
Just the London tube ticket.
Absolutely.
It gets out there two times an hour, 45 minutes, and you got your Hampton Court experience. What's another place? Liz, what would you propose people consider?
I always think Stonehenge and Salisbury. So you can get the train from London straight to Salisbury. And from Salisbury, there is a regular bus service on a double-decker bus that will take you for about a 30-minute drive to Stonehenge.
Now, if I was a typical tourist looking at the map, I'd think, I'm using the train. The train only goes to the city, and Stonehenge is out in the middle of the country. It's going to be difficult. But no, you come into Salisbury, and half of the tourists on that train are not going to Salisbury. They're going to Stonehenge.
They're going to Stonehenge.
And there's a double-decker bus waiting, probably coordinated with the arrival of the train.
In an ideal world.
And you're on your way.
That's exactly it. We try and make it as easy as we possibly can. I think there's often a thought many of our guests tend to think they have to do an organized trip from London, but no, you don't. Use the public transport.
You could spend a lot of extra money taking that organized tour, or you could save a lot of money and have a lot of more freedom if you take the train and then the bus connection.
That's exactly it, Rick. I think it's more for the freedom because you'd never know how long you want to be there.
Exactly.
If anyone has been to Stonehenge before, it's a different experience. After about 4 years ago, when we had a new visitor centre created, fantastic exhibition room, they remade what they think was the way that the people lived, even how they think they moved some of those gigantic stones across the plain itself. So there's more than just the stones.
I loved it. We went there with our TV crew just a couple years ago, and it was all different from my experience. I've been going there for so many times. And you got, after the exhibition center, you get on a shuttle bus, and it takes you right to the stone circle.
Right to the stones, and you can spend as long as there as you like. And the beauty of going in and out of Salisbury as well, you can stop in Salisbury. There's a beautiful cathedral there. There's the Magna Carta you can see.
One of the Magna Cartas is in Salisbury.
Exactly that, and it's free to go and see.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Jeannie Carmichael and Liz Boardman about side trips from London. What's another side trip you would consider, Jeannie?
Oh, one of my favourites is Bletchley Park. Maybe, have you seen that wonderful film with Benedict Cumberbatch all about Bletchley Park, the code breakers?
Oh, the Enigma Code.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yes, top secret establishment.
And that's open to the public.
It's open to the public now.
Bletchley Park,
yes.
B-L-E-T-C-H-L-E-Y Park. So this is great for World War II fans.
Absolutely.
And what exactly do you experience there? What is it, a museum or a palace or what?
Well, it's the whole site. it's the original site preserved, and you get guided tours there. They take you from hut to hut, and they explain to you exactly how the codebreakers worked.
So this really is a World War II secret mission kind
Absolutely.
Of site.
And were it not for them, it's estimated the war might have lasted for more than 4 years longer.
Well, that's
so this is
to Bletchley
vastly
Park
important.
Right there.
Yes.
How do you get to Bletchley Park?
You jump on a train from King's Cross, and in 40 minutes, there you are. And
sounds
Bletchley
like that's
Park
the. We can just
literally outside the station.
Just jump on the train, and in 40 minutes, you're there.
You are.
We should mention that London, if you are considering day tripping, London is a massive city from a square miles point of view, and it's ringed with train stations. How many train stations do we have in London?
Oh, gosh.
There's a handful of them.
Oh, but they're at least, well, there's about eight major ones
eight,
and then
eight.
Smaller suburban ones.
So then you'll go to that by the tube and then you'll catch the train from there.
Absolutely.
Things are so coordinated because the British people can live life just fine without a car. Liz, what's another day trip from London?
I really enjoy Highclere Castle. Now, again, it's a short train journey from London to Newbury area.
Highclere. Now, we know this because of Downton Abbey.
Yes, yes, if we have any Downton fans.
Oh, I am. And how accessible is the actual abbey we all know and love?
Well, it's actually more of a stately home. Mm-hmm. And in case anyone was under the impression it was a church type of building, it's obviously a stately home. The only thing I would really recommend is do check for tickets in advance. It's very popular to go, but accessible.
So you should book tickets in advance.
Yes, and
to the entrance. It's the castle.
Highclere Castle.
Mansion, yeah.
Yes. And it's a beautiful stately home, originally home of Lord Carnarvon. And Lord Carnarvon we tend to associate with the discovery of Tutankhamun.
That's right. So is there actually an Egyptian collection?
There is an Egyptian exhibition there as well.
You've got the, not the King Tut exhibit, but a related exhibit about the Egyptian artifacts. And then, you know, we're all fascinated by Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Are there actually artifacts there about Downton Abbey, or is there some sort of a tip of the hat to the actual series?
Oh, no. They have incorporated the fact of Downton Abbey. And to be quite honest, when you do visit, it's like walking on the film set. But of course, really what happened was the actors and actresses just had to move into Highclere Castle. They hardly had to change anything for them. But again, a big exhibition with reference to Downton Abbey as well.
And how do we get to Highclere Castle from London?
Highclere Castle would be a train and Jeannie, I'm looking.
Yes, it's a short train ride, and then there's
40
a
minutes
taxi.
From London, by and then you take a taxi
then you
from
take
the
a
nearest.
Taxi.
So you just take the you take you're any sort of you can Google that or whatever,
oh, yeah.
But you're within an hour from this
sure.
from London, and you're on your way. British tour guides Liz Boardman and Jeannie Carmichael are helping us get out of town to explore a few of the many interesting day excursions or side trips we can enjoy within easy reach of London. Let's do another one. This is fun. I'm learning a lot. Jeannie, what's another?
Another one I really love is Eltham Palace, which is just on the edge of London. Again, that's maybe 20 minutes on the train. And that was a 15th century castle, a palace.
15th century.
Yeah,
so that
absolutely.
Was 600 years ago. This is Eltham Palace, E-L-T-H-A-M.
Yeah.
And what's so worthwhile about
that? Well, what's wonderful about it is that in the 1930s, there was a very wealthy couple, the Courtaulds. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a great art collection.
Because we think
in London
the Courtauld
too.
Gallery in London,
precisely
same family.
The same family.
Mm-hmm.
They decided they would like to build a 1930s house adjoining the ancient palace.
So you got a 600-year-old palace
and
Art Deco mansion next
art
to it.
Art Deco mansion. It's stunning.
That sounds quite
unique,
actually.
Beautiful. It is. I've never seen anything like it anywhere else.
And how open is it to the public? Is it a private home that lets you see a couple of rooms, or is it just wide open
no,
for
tourists?
No, you
can see the whole thing. It's
and
really
what is it? Is it more medieval palace or more Art Deco mansion?
Well, what's left of the medieval palace is a great hall, one great big hall, but it's stunning. It has a roof very similar to Hampton Court and Westminster Hall in the Houses of Parliament, you know, the fabulous hammer-beamed roof.
You could spend a week in London and every day dedicate to a side trip. And
no, you could spend a month.
And I would have bet a place like Eltham Palace has a lovely garden.
Oh, it's stunning. Oh, yeah. It's absolutely beautiful because the Courtaulds were passionate gardeners as well, you see. And again, we have the docents to show you around. It's like stepping back in time.
I love the way the elegant docents, are they volunteers or do they get paid?
No, they get paid.
They get paid. I've got some sense that there's volunteer docents in some places, but whatever the case is, they feel like volunteers because they love what they
Indeed.
Do. Mm-hmm. And you can ask them questions.
Mm-hmm.
And the smart tourist, you know, they take full advantage of those docents because they're there to give meaning to your visit. Let's go to another side trip. Okay, we just did Eltham Palace. Liz, what's one that you would enjoy doing?
I think this is for adults and children. We're talking Harry Potter. Harry Potter and the Warner Brothers Studios, which is just outside London, are really popular. Now, I say for the children as well, but again, this is the adults that get the big kick out of Harry Potter.
So what's the, tell me, take me there. I have not been to the Warner Brothers Studio.
It's the Warner Brothers Studios, just outside. This is where you can actually see some of the sets that were created for the magnificent films. You can get involved with the special effects as well. You can fly on the broomsticks. You can go and you can purchase the wands. You too can make the spells like Harry Potter.
Well, so anybody who's interested in Harry Potter would find this to be fun.
Oh, this is a must, absolute must.
Outside of London, but accessible by train, I suppose.
It's outside London, and again, as you said, you can get there by train. And just like we've said with the other attractions as well, there are buses coordinated to arrive and ferry you out to the Warner Brothers Studios.
And in this case, do you need reservations in advance?
Again, I would. It's very popular, very popular.
You know,
so
if
I would.
It's possible to make a reservation in advance, especially because you're going out of London on a train. You don't want to underestimate, you could hit on a holiday or you could be there when everybody is there. You'll want to have a reservation in advance if it's possible.
If it's possible. And with the Warner Brothers Studios, you actually have a timed entrance as well. So there's always, keep that in mind.
So always go online and find out if these sites allow online booking. And if they do, why not?
Definitely.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We are celebrating day trips from London with Jeannie Carmichael and Liz Boardman. And Jeannie and Liz, let's do a few more side trips. You know, one thing that's very close to London for me, because every time I land in Heathrow, it seems like I'm right there, is Windsor. Talk about Windsor for a minute, Jeannie.
Oh, well, Windsor is just superb. I mean, it's Her Majesty's favourite home. And when you see it, you won't be surprised why.
So there's Windsor Palace.
Windsor Castle, yes.
Windsor Palace. And that is really one of the great royal palaces and castles to see. But there's even more than that in the town of Windsor. I just find it just a charming place to even get a small hotel or a B&B.
Oh, yes. Well, just outside the castle, there's Windsor Great Park, which is thousands of acres of beautiful parkland with hundred-year-old trees, and you can do walking trails through the park.
And Liz, don't we have the famous Eton College there?
We do, actually. From the town of Windsor, you're looking down on Eton College itself, beautiful, iconic building itself. The whole town, it has a real quaint Englishness about it.
And you can get there in half an hour or so from downtown London.
Exactly.
And you're in a different world.
It feels very much a different world. As you said, you just catch a train from Waterloo and within half an hour, you're in this quintessential English town.
I love that. Now, if you've got kids, nearby is Legoland.
Yes.
And if your kids are Lego maniacs, are kids still Lego maniacs? Is that my
I
kids
believe
are Lego
so.
Maniacs? You know, Denmark is the original Legoland, but there's an amazing Legoland right by Heathrow Airport near
it
Windsor.
It actually warrants a day visit itself. And again, if you have children, it's a wonderful experience for children. Not only are they recreating many iconic places within the UK in Lego, but there's also theme rides as well. There's boat rides. There's all sorts.
You know, the English know how to have a good time going to the amusement park.
And it happens rain or shine.
Now, Liz, you're from Bath, and I've never been beyond Bath to a town called Bristol because I love Bath so much. But Bristol is, a lot of people are saying Bristol is worth a look.
Rick, I think it is. This is why, you know, most people would leave London. They would pick the train up at Paddington. An hour and a half later, you're in Bath. And that's where the majority of people will descend. Just go that 15 minutes further and you're in Bristol. Bristol itself, it's a city with many, many historical facts with it. Unfortunately, it was devastated during the Second World War, so a lot of Bristol is now new build, but we still have some of the original buildings. Hmm. Bristol has connections with the slave industry. It was part of the slave triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And again, within Bristol itself, we have big connections with a gentleman called Isambard Kingdom Brunel. Now, he was one of our fantastic Victorian engineers and designers, and he actually designed the SS Great Britain. And the SS Great Britain was the first iron steamship to cross the Atlantic. This is going back to 1845.
So this was before, in our grade school education, we always learn about the ironclad warships of the Civil War.
Right.
This is even before that.
This is even before that. It took 14 days to cross the Atlantic.
An iron ship with a propeller in 1840?
1845.
That's great.
And it took about 190 passengers across the Atlantic. And it's come back to Bristol. It's in a fantastic display. They've actually got it down by the harbour side. You can go over the SS Great Britain, see what the conditions were like for the passengers. I would imagine very different than any cruises that we can offer in today's ships themselves.
Oh, yeah.
But the history involved with the SS Great Britain. Now, unfortunately, she was put to scuttle outside the Falklands, but she was brought back to Bristol back in 1970.
Okay.
And they spent many years recreating, bringing her back to her former glory.
So we know and love Bath, but it's a resort town, a little spa town, and it's nice, it's elegant. But if you go just beyond, you get a no-nonsense industrial port town, Bristol, with some serious history and some serious maritime history.
Definitely.
And Jeannie, I think when we're thinking about side trips from London, we can remember there's a place that's nicknamed London by the Sea.
Absolutely. You just jump on a train at Victoria Station. There's one every 15 minutes. And in an hour, you're in Brighton. And Brighton is the most brilliant place to visit because Brighton is a city of, shall I say, mildly eccentric.
You know, that's a very good thing to say. Mildly and less mildly eccentric pleasure activists.
Absolutely. There are more vegetarian restaurants there than any other city in Britain.
It's got a thriving gay scene.
Very thriving gay scene there. When we had a census a few years ago, a significant percentage of Brighton inhabitants put down their religion as Jedi Knight.
And you've got an eccentric royal who built a palace down there, the Brighton Pavilion.
Absolutely, yes.
And this is one of the most exotic buildings, I think arguably the most exotic building in Britain. Talk about the Brighton Pavilion.
Well, it has been said that it looks as if the Taj Mahal had given birth to a pup.
And That's what it looks like.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is our version of the Taj Mahal. It was built by the Prince Regent, who was the son of George III. If you remember him, he was the king who went mad and caused us a few colonial problems.
That's right.
We won't talk about that. But his son wasted his money on building this fabulous extravaganza, which is an Indian palace on the outside, and inside it's an exquisite Chinese palace.
Oh, it's well worth touring.
Oh, yes.
And speaking of Indian, you know, when you go to London these days, it's just a microcosm of England's, the Commonwealth, of England's
sure.
former empire.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't have enough money to own their own palace. But they have money for a train ticket, and they want a little time on the sunshine on the beach. They'll go straight south as far as the train can go. That's Brighton. And you go to the beach, and it's just an ethnic festival of different families from all over the former Commonwealth. Immigrants, first-generation immigrants that are down on Brighton's beach having a great time.
Indeed. And if you like antiquing, you've died and gone to heaven. Because Brighton has tiny little streets, which are called the Lanes. It used to be a fishing village, you say,
right.
And it grew from that. The most beautiful jewellery shops there. Oh, my Lord.
This has been so much fun. Jeannie Carmichael, Liz Boardman, you've opened my horizons. I can go back to London for the rest of my life and see the British Museum and, you know, the National Gallery and hike up and down Whitehall, and I love that. But to get on a train and go 40 minutes, two trains an hour, you've got a whole world of wonderful side trips. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington by Tim Tatton, Kaz Murrah-Hall, and Donna Bardsley. Our website is managed by Andrew Wakeling. Affiliate relations are by Sheila Gerzoff. Our theme music is by Jerry Frank. Thanks to the BBC in London for their help this week. Find out more about our guests at ricksteves.com/radio. And we'll see you next week for more Travel with Rick Steves.